And our Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness to us. Lord, your ways are high. Lord, and your purposes are different than ours. And the intricacies and the complexities of all of your creation is so far above our ability, so far past our ability to find out. We worship you this day. We bow before you this day. Lord, even for these bodies that we have that, Lord, you have fashioned together, Lord, for them to function at all is a great, great grace given from you. Father, we would pray for our brother in evil this day. And having heard this word, he's very, very, very ill today. So please touch his body and help him. Strengthen him, heal him. Thank you for the wonderful mechanisms within our own bodies towards self-healing. Pray that they would be effectual for him. Help us to think upon you and remember you as we go through this Sunday school lesson this day. And to think upon you for good. Because you are good and you do good. Truly, God is good to Israel. And we are included as the Israel of God. Praise you. Bless our time together for the whole of the morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. When I read this little essay here this week, it reminded me of Job 38, and Job's going through all of his problems there, and then God is confronting him in some very, very powerful ways right at the end of the book of Job. And one of the things that God asks Job right towards the end is, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You see, we think that we know it all, right? We know better, and we shouldn't be treated like this. And I shouldn't have this little bruise on my elbow or this, you know, pimple on my ear or whatever it is. Or, and I don't mean to make light of the maladies that we may have, but where were we when God laid the foundations of the earth? I mean, he's the designer. He's the maker, which we will read about in Ecclesiastes here. Ecclesiastes 11:5, and we have a simile here that's an as and a so. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so, as and a so, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. I mean, there are these little microbes that, you know, we haven't even discovered yet. And God made them all. The maker of all things. You may not be conscious of it, but every day you are presented with dozens of miracles. And actually, it should be a whole lot more than dozens, right? If we really would think about it. Starting with the breath that you take, things are happening all around you and in you that are beyond your comprehension or your control. And let's see, when we not only think we understand things, we think that we can control things. In the next 24 hours, your heart and mine, hopefully, right, will beat about 104,000 times. And how many times have you thought about that? Or do you sit there and say, beat again, beat again, beat again? And you will inhale 23,000 times. Your body will lose and reproduce up to 50 trillion cells. That's a lot of cells. In the next minute, 250 babies will be born. 105 people will die. Lightning will strike 6,000 times. I mean, you could go on in every discipline of science and add to this litany of incredible things. The universe is expanding still. If you stop to consider all that is going on around you that you don't control, and that's a good thing to think about. What is it that I'm really not controlling right now? You would recognize how much, number one, God is doing, and how much, number two, He is controlling. Perhaps it would encourage you to let go of things as you try to control and put them in God's hands, where this verse invites them to be. Now again, we're planners and planning is good, right? But as Westerners, we have a tendency to overplan, right? We plan for the, you know, unforeseen, right? But, you know, I remember playing basketball back in the day, and we would plan for all these things that, you know, every eventuality we could imagine. And, you know, my coach used to just let the other people think that we were lucky, but we would plan for, okay, there's, you know, 3 seconds left. We have a sight out. What are we going to do? Okay. We would plan for all of those sorts of things, but at some point, we're not in control of all of those things, right? You run this play, and right as you're passing the ball to that guy, he trips and falls down. Well, there you go. So much for our plan, right? But this verse is inviting us to say, you know what? There's more that's out of our control than there is that's in our control, I guess, is a good way for us to take a deep breath and view this here. Ecclesiastes 11:5 begins with the reality that our finite understanding begins with the reality of our finite understanding. Just as we don't know the path of the wind or how a baby is formed, we have a limited understanding of how God works. When we pray for our desires, we don't see what God sees about the direction or the path our prayers need to take. We see the end, and we make assumptions about what we think should happen to get us there. But God sees things that need to happen along the way that we will only understand when we look back. As our faith grows, we leave more room in our prayers for God's direction in what is happening. More room in our prayers is always good. We can have peace at any given moment that we are where we need to be. And sometimes it's in the same place. If you've ever watched the wind blow over a period of time, you know the next breeze is not always predictable. Trees can sway in both directions, and the wind can diminish to a light breeze or grow to devastating strength. Only in retrospect do we really see how strong the wind blew or where it was headed. Perhaps that is why Solomon uses the wind, which he does a lot, to remind us that God can be trusted to chart our course. We are also challenged to consider the limits of our understanding by observing, that's what our verse is from Ecclesiastes, how a baby develops before a birth. I mean, there's a lot going on after a birth, but even before. Just 4 weeks after conception, this tiny life is already a major miracle. I'm giving her a correction there. The baby has already started to develop a neural tube from which the brain, spinal cord, and the backbone will be formed. From that point forward, what happens inside the womb is nothing short of astonishing. Watching a baby form is one of our best windows to see God at work. With the analogy of the wind, we are invited to make room for God's direction. But with the forming of a baby analogy, we are invited to make room for the details of how God works. In each of these images, we see two distinct ways to trust God with things that are ahead. And again, that baby is being formed and you have no control over it. Yeah, you don't say to a mom who's expecting, try harder. I mean, what do you do? There's nothing to do. We are to let God direct us on the path in front of us and to trust that He has a purpose for what happens to us along the way. The timing and the detail of a baby's development reveal that things have to happen at a certain time and in a certain way for the baby to be ready for birth. A baby's circulatory system can't develop until the placenta splits off and forms this food source or supply. The spinal cord can't develop if that neural tube that we talked about isn't there first. The timing of these details shows us that what is happening right now in our lives may be preparing us for something that is coming. Not only is God forming our path of direction, He is putting together the details we will need when we get there. We may be praying for what God wants for us, but the path getting there may be different from what we expect. If we are too set on the path we want, we may lose out on an important detour. Imagine that God has an important detour. We don't like detours. We're efficient Americans, right? Who wants a detour? Only God knows what is around our next bend. And Solomon is inviting us, the writer of Ecclesiastes, is inviting us to trust God's direction for how things unfold. We may question the circumstances happening right now, but we will discover one day that what happened, that they happened for a reason. They may form a character quality we will need or position us to meet a person we need to meet. Or how about just that we're waiting for the other person to be brought to be ready? You know, it's not all about us. It could be about the other person's not ready. Position just to meet a person we need to meet, and only in retrospect will we see all that God did. When we trust God for the direction and the details of our lives, we are acknowledging that the intricacies of God's plan are beyond, I mean far beyond, what we could ask or imagine. We learn to pray for God to use our lives in ways only He can arrange from what He knows and sees. Now, I was thinking about this the other day. Science has come to discover this. Both my brother and my mother had a form of bladder cancer, and there's a chemotherapy that you actually drink it, right? And it sloshes around, and after it goes through your system, it sloshes around in your bladder, right? And you're supposed to have it slosh around. And so after, you know, your bladder's full, you're supposed to just like really, you know, move around and do all these things. And you know, so that your whole bladder ends up being coated with that. And both my brother and my mother are bladder cancer survivors, but they also found out, and I forget what the name of this ingredient is, but this ingredient in most cases prevents people from getting COVID, and in other cases really reduces what COVID does to a person. Who knew? Somebody knew, right? God knew, but who of us would even dream of something like that, right? The verse ends by proclaiming God as the maker of all things. This acknowledgement not only gives us a filter for all our own prayers, but helps us in our prayers for everyone else. Wow, you know, and it makes me wonder, sometimes we pray with such specificity or such detail for someone else, that may not be at all what God wants to do in that person. If we trust that God has the direction and the detail of our lives in His hands, We can also believe that he has the direction and details of the lives of the people we care about. And as we watch for God's activity around us, we let our prayers be edited and shaped by his work. Reflection number one. Have you ever been angry with God because of the way a circumstance was unfolding in your life? My comment is to ask that question is to answer that question, right? Because all of God's people raised their hand if they were honest, right? Did looking back give you a new perspective? Think back to a situation you went through. Can you see where God allows some things that seemed strange at the time, but eventually benefited you or led you in the right direction? I mean, I prayed for a long time for God to find me a wife. And I'm glad he didn't give me any of the ones that came before Karen. Is there a current circumstance in your life where you need to acknowledge that God sees the ending? How can that impact the way you live in that this circumstance? So who wants to go first here? Any stories or testimonies that said, oh, this can't be right, right? I'm mad at God about this, but turned out better. Any volunteers today? There may be some of you who have been born in a Christian home, but I would guess that most of us came to Christ because of some pretty painful trauma in our life. It's true of me. Anybody else have that as a part of their upbringing? Yeah, Joe. Yep.
That was a long time ago, but anyway, this has been something in my mind. I mean, I can see before I was saved, first 37 years of my life, especially my being a teenager and an adult, I can see a lot of things. Strange things that happened to me and things that he allowed. And, you know, now looking back, I mean, the only thing I can say is, it's only by God's grace that I'm alive and I'm sitting here right now. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure any one of us that. Anyone that got saved in their adult years, we could all see many things in our past before we got saved that we don't understand. I mean, I did things before I knew the Lord that I should have been punished severely, but he didn't punish me. That's it. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about strange? I don't get that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not the Lord of War. Why is it so good to me? Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Yeah, Sal.
As far as number one goes, I don't think I'm angry. I was angry at God. I just thought I was trying to figure out why he would allow that, why he would do that. I think it was a little bit different. I wasn't saying because I knew he was in charge, but like, explain to me why you're
He's
doing
such
it.
A saint, isn't he? I mean, I've been mad at God. No, you never got angry?
I'm not mad. I just like, because I knew he's in charge. I said, well, why didn't you allow me to, just a quick example, I used to haul hay down to Westchester County in the middle of the night by myself with a truck and trailer. And more times than I can mention, I got home and I thought, I'm home. How did I get home?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. How did I get home? I knew, I think I fell asleep or whatever. And I'm, you know, back, especially when you get close to home, the back roads, and all of a sudden I'm home. Probably because normally I'm a lot of prayer, why did I get home? And then some friend, you know, who was just going to the guy I knew was just going down to pick up pizza in Salem that night, went off the road and was killed. Young guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not so much angry, but why did that work that way? You know, why?
Yeah.
Versus anger.
Yeah. Yeah. I get wise. Anybody else? Chuck?
No, I've never been angry with God.
Say it again.
I've never been angry with God.
I said just, how did I get this job here? Yeah.
What? Why do I bother?
All right, Chuck's never been angry with God. Keep going. Come on.
No,
tell us the story. Yeah.
You've been angry at Gary, though.
Chuck, really, it's good for you. You're in Alan's camp. Yep. Yep.
I've never been angry with God. I've asked him, I've been questioning him, and he has given me perspective. Yes, in hindsight, I've learned a lot about why things happen. There's always a mystery. Because I'm not God, I don't know it all.
Yeah.
So I give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So, leave it there.
Good. Yeah, yeah. You've never been at, all right, you know, good for you guys, good.
I think the word is like to be disappointed and upset, but maybe not angry. Because I remember being really disappointed when the school here stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
had
invested so much time and energy.
Yep.
It was really disappointing, and again.
Yep.
Question.
All right. I'm the only one. Okay.
The only one.
It's okay. Yeah, please tell me you were angry with God.
I'll say I'm not as sanctified as all these people. I've been angry with God before.
Thank you.
The more that I think it was Joe, one of them said that you know that he's in charge, and so you're not angry with him. Well, I'm the opposite. The more that I know he's in charge, the more angry.
Good.
Could have had this not happen.
Yes, right.
If I have a boss and my boss like does something weird and it reacts poorly on me, then you're angry with your boss. But how much more if your boss could have done anything in the possible world and they chose to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes, like, yeah, you get angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael.
So. I was often, throughout my early years, angry at myself because I couldn't live up to the expectation that was put before me.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that I wasn't as angry with myself as I was with God because God could have, back then, in my estimation, given me what I needed to live right and live perfect, and he didn't. And so underlying my anger with me was anger with him.
Hmm.
And I don't think I ever realized that until I came into the circles that I'm now in, where sovereignty and the fact that he is in charge means so much.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's people here that are saying they've never been angry with God. Well, I bet they've been angry with themselves. And I bet that underlying that anger with themselves is a hidden anger with God.
Mm. So I have some things that I've been praying about for a long time, and God doesn't seem to answer those prayers the way I would like him to answer those prayers, okay? And so, but then there's other things that I pray about. And so I laugh at myself because of this anger that I have, but, you know, I'll pray for something like I go through these various rituals and my preparation for sermons and things like that. And I'll pray that God, you know, will give me direction or give me some sort of insight. And he answers it just like that. So, Lord, forgive me. You guys forgive me. So my reaction to that is, oh, so anytime I'm doing something that you want me to do, you answer like that. But it's when it's something that I want, it's like, we're waiting. No. Waiting. No. I'm just being honest. That's how it goes with me. Joe.
Yeah,
why do you laugh at that, by the way?
Well, listen to everybody. Mike's comments. I know exactly what he's talking about. And I'm thinking minutes ago when I was listening to you guys, I thought about what Martin Luther said. We've studied Martin Luther a lot in this church. And Martin Luther said, sometimes I love God, sometimes I hate him.
Yeah.
And yeah. The first time I heard that about him, it blew me away. How can I just, am I just, I think maybe I might be deceived a little bit when it comes to this. One of the reformers, what can I say? He had such a high spiritual impulsion. I'm questioning myself. Joe, do you hate God? Is there times you hate God and you don't? You're deceived and think that you never. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just don't think that being angry with God, I mean, I see plenty of situations in the Bible where people, good, godly people, have been angry with God. I don't think that that's like a horrible end of the world kind of a thing to admit. It doesn't mean that they were right, like when Moses was angry with God and he strikes the rock instead of like he was sinning, right? And so I would easily admit that I was sinning when I'm angry with God. I'm not trying to excuse it, but I would say this is that, there's a lot of talk in our culture about what it means to be a Christian is to have a relationship with God. Well, not being happy with somebody is a part of relationship. I mean, how many relationships do we have where it's all sunshine and roses and picnics and it's never anything that's, maybe you would just call it frustration, or maybe you would call it anger. So I don't see where, being angry with God at any particular point, while it is sin and therefore needs to be dealt with and corrected, and that's what this essay is about, is correcting it. I think that, until we are freed from our sinful nature, right, as long as we're going to remain in a relationship with God, there is the real propensity that we could be angry with God. Yeah.
So you're talking about Martin Luther, and Martin Luther was, he had a lot of his own spiritual talents and stuff like that. But if you look, even so, when you're saying angry with God, I think of Samuel. So in 1 Samuel 15, so God says to 15:10, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. He was angry at God, and cried to the Lord all night.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, you told me to go to Saul. I went to Saul. I did everything you wanted me to do, and now you're regretting it. Like, what do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
He's angry at God.
Right.
And he's Samuel. He has, two of the books of the Bible named after him. He's a prophet of God.
Right.
He communicates with God all the time, and he's angry.
Right. I mean, we were talking about Jonah, Mike and I, And no one is saying that, oh, look at how great Jonah is because he was angry at God. We're all recognizing that Jonah was sinful in his anger, but to say that anger was absent from the life of people who were in relationship with God, I think goes with the territory. Yeah, Jerry.
I'm talking about prayer.
Yeah.
And I have learned very well, especially of late, that if you're going to pray, you better be careful with how you pray.
Yeah.
And be prepared for the answer, because it rarely is the way you picture it. And but it's an answer. And in God's eyes, it's the way He wants to answer. And I think in hindsight, you'll see that it's a good answer. It's the best thing for you or the person you were praying for.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, when I pray, especially in recent months, I'm very careful about how I pray, and not to be too specific, but often not.
Yeah.
I try not to leave too much room either, if you know what I mean.
What a wonderful, good. This is a great contribution.
God will answer, and He does every time.
Yeah.
But it, when He answers, it will as well.
Yeah.
Expect that.
Yeah. Very good. So, yeah, true confessions, I guess. Right? Yeah, Joe. So, and again, if I could go back to my situation, the takeaway is that, okay, those prayers that God isn't answering in the way that I want them to answer, I need to either have more patience or I need to have more acceptance that this is better for me than I think it is. So I get it. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment on page 98. That said, that the last paragraph I'm talking about birth, baby development,
yeah, yeah.
When you were reading that, going through that, I almost teared up because my mind went to abortion.
Yeah.
And how wicked, when you were reading this, I had a couple of first thoughts, how wicked we are, how wicked. How depraved the human heart is that people can actually believe that that's nothing but a glob of, it's not a bigot, it's not a human.
Right. Yeah.
So what bottom line with me is, I only see what I see, and I only believe what I believe because of the grace of God. I'm not on the other side of the equation because of His goodness and grace. There's a lot in this. There's a lot in this. Blessing bottom line to me in all of it is the providence of God. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful doctrine that is.
Mm-hmm.
God's in charge. There's a lot that he does in his providence, that secret that's hidden from us.
Mm-hmm.
The secret counsels of God that speaks to his incomprehensibility. There's things we'll never know and understand.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace and thank you for the abundance of it and your forbearance with us, and Lord, your forbearance with me. You're good to us. Father, we thank you for these examples here about the wind and about the development of an infant. And so, Lord, help us to keep at the forefront of our minds, where were we when you laid the foundations of the earth? We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.